turn to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 53 and verse 6. About the middle of your Bible, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Now, both Dean and Frank were brief. They were almost like the advice the old preacher one time gave to a young preacher when he asked how he should preach. And he told him three things that you need to know. Get up, speak up, and when you're done, shut up. And that's the advice he gave, and that's the advice that these men followed tonight. They gave us nice, clear, concise messages from the Bible. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Just 28 words in the version we're going to read for my part of the meeting. Isaiah 53, verse 6. This whole chapter really is to do with the Lord Jesus in prophecy. It was written over 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born, and yet with very little knowledge of the Bible, you could still read this and you wouldn't be able to see anybody else but the one who suffered at Calvary. 700 years, over 700 years after it was written. So the Lord Jesus fulfilled this, but it also tells us many insightful things about us. And that's what I want to think about tonight. Now, Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it's saying something about all of us. It's saying something about the him, that's the Lord Jesus. And then it speaks about his or her. It's not specifying gender when it says that. To his or her own way. Every one of us make our own choices along the way. So all of us, that's pretty clear. Then the his or her that is faced with choices in the meeting, and one very special person, which is just, you could put this in capital letters, him. That's what we've been hearing about is him. He's the one who came, died on the cross, having suffered for our sins, and we owe our very salvation to him. That's why we preach about him. So, just 28 words, as we said. Sometimes you might be called on, I know I am sometimes, and some of you may have to, if you're university or still students, sometimes we have to write something, and there's certain criteria that is given to us, a word count. And so word count is a wonderful tool on Microsoft Word or whatever thing you're using. But maybe sometimes I have had to write tributes for preachers that died or reports of activities and things to pray for. And they might give you a word count and say, just keep it within 350 words. And you very quickly run over the 350 words and you realize that really it's hard to be brief and concise and yet pack a lot into the words. Just say what you need to say in a few words. But God does that constantly and consistently. Frank read in John 3:16, 25 words. Wonderful words that are packed full of truth, that are almost like just one capsule of truth, of almost everything you need to hear. All the basic strains and truths of the gospel wrapped up. And this is another such verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. But I just want to think about three things, just draw three threads out of this just to think about, because you could come at this from all different angles, but I want to think about just three threads and leave them with you for my part of the meeting tonight. I want to think, first of all, of traits that we have that we're not responsible for. He says, all we are like sheep. So he's drawing a comparison, saying that all of us, and by the way, there's two alls in this verse. There's the all that we enter at, we're all like sheep, and then there is the all at the end. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What Frank was telling us that he did for him, he's done for all of us. So the first all we have to acknowledge, we're all like sheep, and that is the fact that we are sinners. And then, but the wonderful story of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus did something for us all, and we need to choose that. But just to think about this, first of all, traits that we are not responsible for, because that's what he's drawing the comparison with sheep for. You know, sometimes people might be offended, especially since COVID, if we said we're all like sheep. Because that became a very political thing during COVID times, that if you're like sheep, you're going to put on a mask and you're going to follow the WHO guidelines and all the rest of it. That's not what we're talking about. It's not a political statement at all. This is long before COVID. And God looks down upon human nature and he says, the whole world, the totality of the human race, he says, we are all like sheep. It has nothing to do with whether we put on a mask or get the jab or any of those things. It's talking about similarities that God sees between the little fluffy, cuddly thing that we see in the fields and us. He says every one of us, we're like sheep. So what's he talking about? Does it mean we're fluffy and cuddly? I have granddaughters that love little fluffy and cuddly teddy bears. That's not what it's talking about, that we're all cute and cuddly like teddy bears. What's it saying? It's saying there's traits that we have that we're simply not responsible for. We may not even know that we're like, that we possess them. But God can see it as he looks upon it. And that's why he lays it out for us, so that we might recognize that just as we look at a sheep and we study a sheep, and if anybody has ever kept sheep and you know something about them, you can likely see some of these things if you are honest and willing tonight. What does he mean, we're all like sheep? What are the traits that he is talking about? Well, there's some of them that I want to just bring before you. First of all, sheep have a tendency to wander in their nature. If there's a weak spot in the fence, they'll find it. If there's a spot where the wire is a little bit high, they will get under it. And you can put them back in, and they'll get under it again. Because there's something in the very nature that wants to wander. It just wants to go a certain way. It somehow thinks that even though the farmer or the shepherd has brought them to this lovely pasture where there's something for them to enjoy and there's safety and security there, there's something in the sheep that says, it's more fun, it's more interesting what is on the other side of the fence. So by our nature, we're like sheep, and that's the way we're like. If you give a child, and Angela and I, we had four, and none of them are perfect, there's a sense in which we can see that. Wherever you give them boundaries, they want to be on the other side of the boundary. We want to get over it, we want to get around it, we want to find the exception to the rule. We want to find the loophole. And there's the arguments and the justification and all the things, because we are like sheep. We wander. Well, it's not just talking on parenting terms. It's talking on our relationship to God. What are the boundaries, really, that we wander outside of? The Bible has given us boundaries. And those boundaries are not meant to be burdensome or things that are difficult, that are meant to ruin society. The boundaries God has given us are those which they kind of, if they were put into practice, it would kind of be that which would provide a kind of a foundation, a sense in which if we operated within the boundaries, there would be a society that would be loving and kind and gracious, and we wouldn't steal, and we wouldn't live outside the commitments of marriage, and we wouldn't be looking and wanting what is our neighbor's, and we wouldn't tell lies, we would be truthful. These are all things that would lend themselves to a better society. The Bible has given us those boundaries. But who among us has always lived inside the boundaries that God has given us? None of us. The Bible says we're like sheep. We wander outside of the boundaries. We think the grass is greener on the other side. There's something about a boundary that we say rules are meant to be broken. They're made to be broken. And we push against them. We look for loopholes. We try to get around it, over it, under it, and all the rest of it. Because we're like sheep. That's what God sees. And if we are honest tonight, we will see that the Bible is right. So we're wanderers. And actually, the truth is this. There's something so wandering. There's something so defenseless. There's something so needy about a sheep. It's impossible then as a wanderer to survive in the places we go, the paths we choose. Just as it is impossible for a sheep as a wanderer to succeed and to survive without a shepherd, so it is for us. We need the shepherd. Because it's when we wander and we get ourselves into trouble and we come to the end of our rope, it's the shepherd that saves us. We can't save ourselves. Sheep cannot. So the first thing we learn, the first trait then, is that sheep are wanderers, and so are we. But secondly, we're not only wanderers, we're followers. Sheep follow. There's a flock mentality, a flock instinct that sheep tend to stay together. And there's been well-documented instances. Shepherds know this and have told us, but yet there's well-documented tragedies of sheep. In fact, there was one in 2005, I believe it was, where there were a flock of 1,500 sheep that belonged to 26 families in the village of Jebus in Turkey. And 1,500 sheep were in a flock with the shepherds watching. And the shepherds brought them to a place where they thought they were contained, and they went to have their breakfast. And while they watched in horror, one sheep, for some reason, jumped off a 50-foot cliff. And 1,500 sheep followed, with the first 450 dying. And the only reason the other 1,050 didn't die is because the ones that died cushioned them. But sheep after sheep after sheep followed. And we're like that. Whether we want to admit it or not, we're followers. I mean, we might want to say that we don't follow, but the reality is we're following someone. And the Bible even says sometimes we think we're being individual and we actually turn to our own way, but the reality is this: someone has gone the way that you've gone before. And you're following someone. You may not be following the mass multitude of society, the millions, but there's someone that you subscribe to the same way of thinking. There's someone that has impacted you. There's someone that has caused you to be the way that you are, so that in reality, and I'm saying you, but it's me. It's all of us. Because he says, even the preacher who's giving this, Isaiah, he says, oh, we. He's speaking to his audience, but he knows when you point the finger, there's four fingers, three fingers, and a thumb that's pointing back at you. It's all we. Sheep are wanderers, but sheep are followers. So that, who are we following? Well, there's someone we don't have a choice but to follow. That's our parents. Adam and Eve made choices that gave the human race a direction that you and I cannot alter. By virtue of natural birth, we have been born as the enemies of God going in a direction that's away from God. We've been born on a broad way that the chart depicts. This is just a picture form of things from the Bible. It's a way that we enter by natural birth, and until we die, we walk the same pathway, following four parents who sin, and we ourselves are sinners. And there could be no choice and no exit but for the Lord Jesus. And there it says, I am the door. And Frank read to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only exit off the road. So if you don't want to be a follower following Adam and Eve and those of our four parents, then there's one door, one exit, one way of safety, one way of salvation. Sheep are wanderers, sheep are followers, and we are following the pathway that Adam and Eve have laid down for us in sin. We don't have a choice. It's in our nature, just like sheep. But thirdly, another trait that we're not responsible for. Sheep are wool producers. They produce wool. And if you might look at it and think, well, it's a coat. It's a woolen coat. But you take it and you separate it, you'll find individual strands of natural outgrowth. Strand upon strand upon strand. form a coat. Sheep naturally produce wool. You say, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, domesticated sheep do not have the same ability or the same traits as maybe wild sheep do, and that's to shed it. So a domesticated sheep is in trouble if the natural outgrowth is not taken away. Now, sheep shearing in the Bible is not usually looked at in a positive context because sheep don't like to be shorn. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Sheep in the at home on the farm years ago, I remember watching the shearer as he would shear away the wool, and it was a matted mess, and you would think the sheep would be glad. They were glad afterwards, and you would think they got a new lease in life. They jumped, and they bounced, and they skipped, and they hopped. You'd never believe how those laden-down sheep, burdened sheep from the natural outgrowth that were so burdened and dirty and matted, now they're hopping and skipping as if they were just young lambs. Well, naturally speaking, just as sheep grow wool, again, it's a massive problem to the sheep. I mean, there's all kinds of things it leads to. If they're not shorn, it leads to overheating, which is understandable. It leads to parasites getting into the wool. It even leads to flies laying eggs and maggots burrow right into the skin. It leads to a lack of mobility. It leads to stress. And a sheep, if it is not sheared, if the natural outgrowth is not taken away, the sheep will eventually become laden down, immobile, without strength, and it will die. What's the natural outgrowth that we produce? Looks like one problem, but it's individual strands. It's sin. We naturally produce sins. And the Bible reminds us that our wool is like sin. But it actually looks at it in a positive context in Isaiah 1:14, that our sins, though they are red like crimson, shall be as wool. When we are saved, what takes place? The wool is sheared away. It is cut off, and it is taken away. And that wool can never be reattached. The sheep never sees it again. That's what happens with sin when we are saved, by the way. The natural outgrowth, our sins that weigh us down, become burdensome, would be a problem. The Savior takes those sins away, and they can never be reattached again. They'll never come back to me again. To never be punished or feel the weight or burden of our sins again. It's a very positive thing to be saved. So those are just three traits. So just the first point, traits that we are not responsible for. What does he mean when it says we are like sheep? So we've dealt with those. But I want to think about troubles that we are responsible for that are alluded to. Troubles that we are responsible for. Well, he says there are choices that we make. We have turned everyone to his own way. There's choices that we make. We make our choices. Constantly we're doing it. And you've made choices in life that have brought you to where you are right now. Can I ask you, do you feel like everything is under control between you and God and your sins? Can you look to the future and to death and stare death confidently in the face and say, I don't want to die, but I know that when I die, all will be well for all eternity. I know that I'm going out to meet God. But God is not angry with me anymore because my sins are gone. Well, there are choices we make. And tonight you're being faced with a choice. You can keep on making choices the way you always have. You continue on like sheep following the crowd, following those ahead of you. You can keep on wandering and testing boundaries and saying that I'm not a sheep to be kept within boundaries. I'm going outside of it. You can keep growing the natural outgrowth of sin, and that will weigh you down and burden you down and bring you to a place of danger and death. But tonight, the gospel is this, that there is a choice that you are faced with tonight that is not wrong. So many choices that we make are naturally wrong. We choose sin. We choose sinful things. We have a craving for those things. But there's a choice that you are being faced with that for the first time in your life could be the right choice. It's for the Lord Jesus. It's for salvation. It's for God, for relationship with God. And there, so regardless of the choices of the past, God is not just so much worried about that tonight. He's just saying they're there. We're constantly sinned by choice. We can blame parents. We can blame internal weaknesses. We can say it was circumstances. But the reality is this: I made wrong choices, and those are sins. Are the result. But tonight, don't make the wrong choice when it comes to the gospel. Choose Christ instead of yourself, pleasing yourself. Choose salvation instead of sin. Choose Christ instead of something, some other person, some other belief system. Choose Christ to confess Him as Lord, is to say, I know there's going to be a change in my life. I want Him to be the one that makes the choices. I want my life to please Him. And that may not sound very fun. But I want to tell you, He is a wonderful Master. He is a wonderful Savior. And He is the one who has made the promise, the Good Shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. And He will look after us in time and for all eternity. To make the choice tonight for the Savior is indeed a wise choice. So the troubles that we are, where we are tonight with all of our troubles is because of choices that we've made. But secondly, think of charges that are against us. Because He says the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So the wickedness, the pervertedness, the crookedness of our life. I'm sure that you're like me. And there's things in your past that you're not proud of. There's things about you that you don't like. I see things sometimes when you're raising children and everybody has two fears. You have the fear that your child is going to grow up to be a bank robber if you make mistakes. And you have the desire that they're going to be someone great and much greater than you are. And you're constantly in this conflicting thing of trying to raise children. And you recognize your responsibility. But the reality is this, that many things that we don't like in our children are the things that we don't like about ourselves. We see them reproduced. We don't like that. Because we recognize that there are charges against me because of my weakness, because of my sins. What about those sins? Are they just out there? Is God a God of forgetfulness who without reason will just forget about all those sins? Do you think that you're not important enough to God that He won't hold you responsible for your actions, that there's not charges against you in God's law court when He says all have sinned and every sin and disobedience, it deserves a just recompense of reward? It deserves punishment and God will give it? There's not a charge that will go unanswered for that anyone commits. But here is the gospel itself. The Lord laid on Him, the Lord Jesus, the sin of us all. In other words, He took responsibility for my charges, for my sins, for yours, so that you can go free. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not a get-out-of-jail-card-free, because that's only Monopoly. This is real life living. This is living life knowing there's an eternity to follow and a God to meet. The Lord Jesus came from heaven. Among all the other wonderful things He did, this tops it all. He came to die in the place of the sinner so the sinner can go free. And they're not held responsible for their sins. But that doesn't happen by accident. As we're reminded, that comes to a personal choice, a very specific moment in our life. When we make the choice, that's for me. I want that. I choose Christ. I choose the forgiveness of my sins and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Charges that are against us. But there are changes that only I can make. It's a very personal thing. God has done the work to save, but He will not save us against our will. No one can make the choice for you, just as no one made the choice for us. God says every person is responsible for a change in their life. It's called repentance. When I agree with God that I'm the sinner, and that's why the Lord Jesus came. So there is a turn that you can make tonight. There is a choice to escape the charges. There's a way of deliverance from your sins. There's a very sad story, real life story, March 24th, just past 2015. German Wings flight, I think it was 9523, flying in Europe, and the pilot left the cockpit. Patrick Sondenheimer, I think his name was. He left the cockpit to use the washroom. What he didn't know, what no one knew, he had kept it from his employer, was the co-pilot was having mental issues. And he kept them hidden from his employer so that he didn't know. And while that co-pilot, Andreas Lubitz, was in at the controls alone, that airliner that was flying at 38,000 feet, that co-pilot made a choice, and the 148 people, I think it was behind him, had no choice but to follow him. And he took that thing from 38,000 feet to the Alps in 10 minutes. The faceless hero of that story, they only know it because of the black box recorders that captured the voice of that pilot pleading to be allowed back into the cabin, pleading to change course. He actually found something heavy. They think he found a crowbar or an axe, and he was literally trying to hack his way through by the metallic clangs and bangs on that reinforced door, trying to get back in, and he died doing that. His voice became silent, and the bang stopped at the end of the recording. What a horrifying experience. It's a thing of nightmares. But that pilot died trying to save others. He gave his life. That's what the Lord Jesus did. And tonight He offers you a choice, because that co-pilot didn't offer anyone a choice. And there's someone at the controls of this world that is taking it down. The devil. And he keeps the aircraft flying and taking it down. But there's one who came to give you a choice. And this is the truth that can save you tonight. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Simply put, He died to save you and I. But if you don't let Him, He can't save you. The choice is yours on whether you want to be saved tonight. But the gospel message is that you can be saved. It's dependent on the wisdom of the one who designed it. It's the Lord, the ever-existing Jehovah from eternity. He planned it. It depends upon the willingness of the one who came to suffer and to die. That's Him who bore all of our judgment. The Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. And tonight it is the word that is eternal that assures us. And these 28 words are just such words that can mean the difference for you between heaven and hell, between being responsible for your sins or Christ bearing them all at Calvary. And I want to ask you tonight, just as this meeting closes, we are like sheep, but who you follow tonight? The one at the controls who's taken it down, or the one who came to suffer for you so that you can be saved and I can be saved. Trust the Lord Jesus. Make that change of thinking tonight. Believe upon Him. Receive Him as your Savior. And that's where salvation is found. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity, the sin of us all. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus, for what He has done. To think of His sacrifice, it's something we can hardly embrace, but it's true because we find it in the Bible. Loved us so much, as we had read to us. He so loved the world, the Father did, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that Son came willingly, took our place so that we can be saved. We pray that someone might just understand we are like sheep, and that is the danger that we're in because we are. But the Savior came to deliver us from that danger and from our sins, and we simply need to trust Him even tonight to be saved. We pray for this, and we know we're helpless to bring it about. Everyone must make the choice for themselves. But we ask You that people might be able to think clearly tonight with the facts of the Bible ringing in their ears, and even that they have seen with their own eyes tonight. We would pray for these blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.